Welcome to the Blue Security Podcast, a weekly podcast for information security defenders, where we bring you discussions on best practices, tools, and implementation for enterprise security. Now, here are your hosts for today's show, Andy Jha and Adam Brewer.
Welcome to another episode of the Blue Security Podcast. I'm Andy, your host.
I'm Adam, your co-host.
This last week, Microsoft had a digital conference called Microsoft Secure, where a lot of announcements were made as far as Microsoft solutions and Microsoft security. And so we're going to dedicate this episode to going through some of those announcements that we found to be beneficial and that our listeners should be aware of. And as a disclaimer, as always, Adam and I both work for Microsoft in our security organization, in our field sales. Microsoft is not a sponsor of this show, but obviously we know a lot about their security solutions. So to kick it off, Microsoft Copilot, or Copilot for Security, I should say, is going to be generally available April 1st. And that is the Copilot that was integrated with the security API for Microsoft services that has been in private preview and early access for about 6 months, I would say now. And it is going to go GA April 1st. So that's really big. It is consumption-based, a pay-as-you-go licensing model, which allows customers to scope and keep track of how much they're going to spend. So it's not like a licensing per user type model. So Adam will go a little bit more into how it's going to be licensed, but just understand that Microsoft is trying to allow organizations to use it as much as they can, as much as needed, without having to overwhelm them in paying for something that they might not use. And so I think this is a good move here. And then it's going to be multilingual. So for organizations that don't speak English, there's going to be 8 major languages, and we'll have documentation within our show notes on the details for that. But there's going to be 8 major languages, like Chinese Mandarin, English, French, you know, so on and so forth, that you can process prompts in. And then the interface itself will also be available in 25 other different languages that you can have for understanding the interface itself. There were some other features that were announced, like prompt books, which are essentially like a workbook where you can have multiple prompts run through. If you're familiar with like Azure playbooks or Microsoft Sentinel playbooks, where you can run them to have them have a predetermined set of actions, this is kind of the same thing. So you can have, for example, like a ServiceNow prompt book to like summarize a specific incident, or the ServiceNow ticket, and then take certain actions after that. And speaking of ServiceNow, a lot of third-party integrations were announced. We're continually working to provide more, but some of the highlighted ones were Netskope, Valence Security, Tanium, Cyware, and so on. And so there's going to be more and more third-party integrations with Copilot for Security. Some of the examples that were given: incident summarization. So if you see an incident which has multiple different signals coming in, it could be from Defender for Office, which is our email security, or Defender for Endpoint and Intune, and Defender for Identity, Entra. If you have all of these different things as part of a overall incident, Copilot can go in there, summarize it in plain language for you to understand what's happening and what's going on. And then you can do things like reverse engineering of scripts. So you can pop in a script and understand in plain language what's happening. And then Copilot can also give you something like a guided response, where now we have the incident. Okay, how do I triage it? How do I remediate it? And it'll have a nice guided response for you without ever having to leave the XDR admin portal. So there's two really experiences when it comes to Security Copilot. There's a standalone, which is similar to like a search engine, right, where you just pop in your prompts. And then there's these embedded experiences, which are really cool. As part of every single admin portal, there's going to be little parts where you can just click, okay, Copilot, and then it'll pop up different things, and it'll pop up a nice side panel for Copilot to do different things within the portal itself. So a lot of different things on Copilot, but that was probably the biggest announcement.
For sure, it was the, as the marketing people call, the hero announcement for the show. And we are going to talk more about some of those embedded experiences as we go through our show that you're listening to right now, because there's embedded experiences in things like Microsoft Entra and Microsoft Intune, and we'll touch on those more in a moment. One thing Andy teased is the pricing model for Copilot for Security. And this was something I think a lot of people were really trying to figure out, what was the most fair model for this, because a per user model scales linearly with the size of your organization, but oftentimes kind of your security estate, what you're trying to protect, doesn't scale linearly with user seat count. And certainly even relatively small organizations have a lot of things they need to protect. And so this model is ultimately the most fair, because regardless of the size of your organization, what you're really paying for is how much compute do your prompts consume. And so there's this concept of a security compute unit, and it is billed at $4 per hour. And that represents a certain amount of compute that the prompts from the Copilot for Security model consume. And so more detail will come out about this as we get closer to general availability in terms of helping customers estimate what your usage might look like. But also know that this is designed very intentionally, as Andy kind of mentioned, to be something you can scale. And so customers always have the ability to scale their security compute units up and down depending on your usage needs. And there will be visibility inside the tool that helps you understand how much you're consuming. And you can either see if you're hitting limits or if you need to add additional capacity, or maybe you are over provisioned on capacity and you could do a little less. All that says that you can fine tune it and find the amount of security compute units that's going to be right for you. So more to come as this gets closer to general availability, but I think this was a big win. And Wall Street did too. Microsoft stock actually hit an all-time high the day after this was announced, in large part because of enthusiasm for this model. I think this is great, where if you're a security organization and you want to kick the tires on this, you could literally spin up one security compute unit come April 1, pay $4 an hour for it. And if you try it out for a couple hours and decide it's not for you, you could literally be out $4, $8, $12, $16, and that's it. And you were able to try out this exciting new tool. So you don't have to sign an agreement. You don't have to add a whole bunch of licenses that stay on your agreement for multiple years. It really is a pay-as-you-go model. So I think that's really, really exciting and democratizes the accessibility of the tool moving forward. And then one last note, you may have caught Andy slip a time or two. There was a very quiet product rename here as well. This was originally announced as Security Copilot, and the name changed to Copilot for Security. So do bear with us if we occasionally refer to it as the old name. We're working towards adopting and being consistent with the new one. And that aligns pretty well with a lot of our other Copilots now at Microsoft, where they're named in that same way, of Copilot for Sales, Copilot for Finance. And in that similar vein, we now have Copilot for Security. So very exciting, and still more to come as this gets closer to general availability here in the coming weeks.
A couple other things. Defender for Cloud Apps added a bunch of new detections associated with generative AI and Microsoft Copilot. These were announced at Ignite, and now we're just emphasizing and probably going generally available with a lot of these new detections. AI Hub in Microsoft Preview. In Microsoft Purview is also in preview, and that is a really neat tool and dashboard that allows you to gain visibility on AI application usage and data protection insights in order to mitigate any type of potential risks associated with that. And so one of the examples is that you can see just in this dashboard the total number of users who are creating prompts in Copilot, the number of prompts that are containing sensitive information, and so on and so forth. So it gives you a nice dashboard with a lot of good information that helps you understand the AI, generative AI usage in applications that are in your organization. And it's not just limited to Copilot. It's also for the Google AI, which escapes me at the moment, and Amazon has an AI.
Gemini.
So, what was it?
Gemini.
Gemini. Yeah. Right. And so on and so forth, right? There's every company's coming out with their own AI technology. And so this AI dashboard, this AI hub, has the ability to track that.
One of the things that tickled me about this segment of the Secure show, which, by the way, you can go watch on demand if you're curious, and we'll have it linked in the show notes, was a lot of what they showed was really going back to technologies that have existed for a while. And to be clear, some of this is new, but some of this is not actually new. It's taking existing technology and showing how it is useful in this context. So Defender for Cloud Apps has forever had great discover capabilities to discover shadow IT in your environment. And people used to use it for things like discover where people are using Prezi instead of PowerPoint. If Prezi is even still a thing, I don't know. But those sorts of things, ultimately using a generative AI tool like a ChatGPT or Gemini is going to show up in exactly the same way. It's just a web app. And so you can discover that already. And then there were other things that were shown about how if you use sensitivity labeling, you can prevent sensitive content from being copied and pasted into a generative AI programs that you maybe have not authorized yet for usage in your environment. How you can use that with Intune app protection policies on mobile to prevent that data leakage. And all of those technologies have been around forever. Andy, I was doing demos with you rolling around the upper Midwest in 2018 doing some of those. And so it just goes to show that the way you get your house in order and make sure that you're only allowing access to web applications of any kind that you authorize, whether they're generative AI or otherwise, is to be really strong on things like sensitivity labeling, data loss prevention, mobile application protection policies, and mobile application management, and all of those good things. They still pay dividends today. And so I thought that was kind of cool. I was particularly tickled by that. But then, yeah, some of this is very new, like the AI hub in Purview, and helping you really understand perhaps the usage of Copilot for Microsoft 365 in your environment as one example, and being able to ensure that it's not being used in harmful or negative ways with things like communications compliance, super helpful. So as I know, a lot of security professionals have been concerned about how do we wrap our arms around this? Well, in some ways, it's by leveraging the tools that have existed for a long time and then augmenting them with net new tools that are coming out to help as well. And that's really what this section was about. And to me, if I'm a security professional, that should bring comfort because I don't need to go learn a whole bunch of new tools, or I don't need to implement a whole bunch of immature tools that have been rushed to market to take advantage of this gold rush. Instead, it's tried and true tools that have been around for a long time that can still help me wrap my arms around this. And I think that was really compelling and really interesting to see some of these literal 5, 6, 7-year-old demos be brought back to life and shown with new context and how there's still a lot of value in them. Because, you know, great tools, great technology, it's not like they go away. They just become part of your baseline. And then you keep improving on them and iterating on them moving forward. But there's still a lot of value in those things. There's still a lot of value in things like app protection policies on mobile, as one example.
One big announcement that I think flew under the radar, at least for me, was Microsoft Security Exposure Management. And this is a new solution. And Adam and I have often talked about how, you know, once someone gets a certain license with Microsoft, that is not the end. We're constantly iterating and adding different things. And exposure management is just one of those things, again, that we've added to our solution at no additional cost. And the intention is to have this for our customers. There's going to be third-party integrations, and that may cost additional money in the future. But if you're an E5 customer, if you own MDE, you know, if you're Entra P2, all those signals are going to integrate into exposure management. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of the evolution of vulnerability management, where you can build this continuous threat exposure management process. And right out the gate, tons of things are already seamlessly integrated into it, like Defender Vulnerability Management, Qualys, Rapid7, our external attack surface management, our CSPM, or Defender for Cloud, Defender for Endpoint, all of our identity things like Defender for Identity, Entra, our SaaS Security Posture Management, Defender for Cloud Apps, Defender for Office, obviously, and Defender for IoT, and then also ServiceNow. So there's a bunch of things that are already integrated into it. You can see from the exposure management portal what your threat footprint might be. So just as a basic example, there's ransomware, right? So you can see what is the risk of my organization to ransomware. You can see your policies from Intune. You can see different devices that are have different configurations. You can see if servers are exposed to the external internet with a public IP address and ports that are exposed to the internet, like RDP or SSH. So that gives you an overall assessment and helps you focus your efforts to try to get more secure as an organization. Another thing that's really cool about it is attack path in advanced hunting, which gives you a comprehensive attacker's perspective, and it outlines the potential steps that attackers might take to infiltrate your assets. And it looks at the paths originating from any possible attack point in the data that it's gathering in, like vulnerable internet-facing devices, and then it traces the steps towards critical assets where lateral movement is possible. So by kind of looking at these, you can get an idea and focus your attention on those things that will stop that attack. So really cool stuff here, just an added benefit for Microsoft customers.
This was wild because I had a customer come to me a couple weeks ago now, and they had been through an audit and it seemed like it hadn't gone well, or maybe they're still in the midst of the audit, but either way, their goal was help us wrap our arms around all of these places where we need to improve, where we can get visibility into our current posture and how we can improve our posture. And so what I said is, okay, well, let's talk about Microsoft 365 Secure Score. Let's talk about Secure Score and Defender for Cloud. And then if you're interested in meeting certain regulatory frameworks, let's talk about Purview Compliance Manager. So we did three separate sessions on all of them. And the customer feedback was, you know, all this is great, but I would really like this all in one thing. And then even while we were discussing some of that, like when we were talking about M365 Secure Score, they asked a question and my technical specialist, a peer of Andy's, said, oh, well, that's over here in Defender Vulnerability Management. And so the customer was getting like, you guys have great stuff here. Like, this is all the stuff I need. I just want this all in one place. Like, I shouldn't have to go to multiple portals to get this. And I said, you know, appreciate the feedback. One of the things we sometimes do and try not to do, but it happens, is we ship the org chart where you have an organization over here that's responsible for this. So they ship this thing for the thing they cover. And then you have another organization over there that does that thing and they ship something to help with what they cover. And that has been improving because Microsoft has consolidated all security, compliance, identity management, engineering under a single executive vice president, Charlie Bell, who reports directly to Satya Nadella. So literally security has a seat at the table on the senior leadership team. But some of this takes time to come to fruition. Well, this is that thing for that customer. I am so excited to go back to them and say, hey, you know how I kind of hinted that we're trying to consolidate more things and create more unified portals over time. And you can see all of our efforts to unify these portals over here. And look at all the great work we did in Microsoft 365, taking separate portals for Defender for Office and Defender for Identity and Defender for Endpoint. And that's all one thing. We've done that now here. And you can almost think of this as not just a secure score for like M365 or a secure score for Azure. This is like a secure score for everything. It is kind of how I relate it to people to think about it. And obviously it's more than that, but certainly to give you that holistic viewpoint. And then, like Andy talked about, help you understand attack paths, because attackers don't think in terms of silos. They think holistically, how can I get from here to my destination? And if they cross different products or different silos, they're going to do it. Giving you that visibility and helping you to visualize and understand those potential attack paths is huge. So this is exciting. No pricing announced yet. It's in public preview, so anybody can try it out. No additional cost today. Once we understand better what the pricing model maybe should look like, what's fair, we'll announce details at a later time. But for now, anybody listening to this show, regardless of how much or how little you do with Microsoft, although as of today, you'll get more value if you do a lot with us, can go turn this up in your environment and start checking it out. So highly recommend you do that. I think this is all upside, no downside here, and more to come as this gets closer to general availability. But I think first, we got to release it to the world, gather some feedback, understand what works well, what doesn't, and we'll adapt the product to that feedback. But I think this is a huge first step. You talked about, Andy, so many different tools and portals that are all disparate today, and bringing them together is just fantastic news. So really, really, really excited about this. It's always interesting when you understand exactly where this is going to scratch a certain itch, and going through that exercise with that customer where they're like, this is great, but we need it all in one place, and being able to show up back now, hopefully this week, I'm excited to do this and say, hey, did you see this yet? And know we're solving real customer pain points. That's exciting when we're fixing real challenges that customers have.
A couple of things for Microsoft Purview that I found were interesting. Microsoft Entra Conditional Access can now leverage the insider risk levels from adaptive protection as a new condition to govern access. I had to actually read over this blog because I'm not a compliance technical specialist, but there are risk levels within insider risk management, which is part of Microsoft Purview. And what that does is it assigns a risk level to a user based on their activity. Maybe it's integrated with your HR system like Workday. And if a user puts in their 2 weeks and they're offboarded within the HR system, that may flag it in the insider risk management portal. And then, it, you know, based on their activity, if they're downloading or sending a bunch of things off of SharePoint or downloading stuff from their OneDrive, right, their risk level goes up. And so this is a risk level within IRM. And now you can use that as a condition within Entra Conditional Access. So I think this is pretty cool because for the first time, you have a condition that can be assigned to an insider risk. And so when the tool itself within Purview detects that it's a high-risk user, you can apply conditions like block them from access or, you know, I'll put another access control policy or integrate it with something else. Or you can say, you know, for low and risk medium users, automatically give them a terms of use that reminds them, okay, hey, this is company data. You must accept this before granting access. So really cool feature. Some other things within Purview, again, that I found were super interesting. The ability to summarize DLP and insider risk management alerts. So you can give a contextual summary of communication compliance. So contextual summaries like help you evaluate the content against regulations, corporate policies, such as gifts, entertainment, and stock manipulation violations. You can detect regulatory compliance violations like SEC or FINRA, such as sensitive or confidential information, harassing or threatening language, or sharing of adult content. And it's built by with privacy by design. So usernames are anonymized or pseudo-anonymized by default, and investigators have to be opted in by the admin. Audit logs are in place to ensure user-level privacy. So really cool stuff here. And then I think we had hinted at this previously, but now there's going to be contextual summary and e-discovery alerts or Copilot for e-discovery. And we understand, at least I do, and I'm sure Adam has seen this as well, legal investigations can take hours, days, multiple weeks to sift through different evidence when you're trying to collect it within each data set. And that can be really costly, especially if you're employing outside counsel to do that. Now you can use keyword query language from natural language within eDiscovery to help you speed up the investigation process. So you can, instead of manually going through each document, you can ask Copilot for, you know, in plain language, to go through each document for you to determine the relevancy to that specific case. So a lot of cool things that were announced for Microsoft Purview within the Copilot realm.
The conditional access condition, that was the word I was looking for, based on the behavioral risk, adds to the suite of risk-based policies you can deploy in conditional access. And so now you can do sign-in risk, which is essentially the real-time risk of that sign-in right here, right now. How risky is it? The historical risk of a user, what behaviors have they engaged in recently and how risky are they and how do those risks add up over time? And now behavioral risk, what are they doing in Microsoft 365 and how risky is it? And even bringing in context from other systems, like you talked about HR information systems or human capital management systems and integrating that into this as well. What an incredibly powerful tool you now have at your fingertips to deploy these different machine learning models for all these different risk types and make those access decisions. Incredibly powerful. And that is just, it's fascinating how quickly this has evolved, because adaptive protection was not announced that long ago. And so being able to extend that now and leverage that signal in more ways demonstrates the power of maybe why our listeners should consider a security platform, because you can take really useful data here and integrate it there, and you don't have to do the integration work. It's already done for you. So that's really, really compelling. And adaptive protection, by the way, if you haven't looked at that, that in and of itself is cool, because that can integrate things like endpoint data loss prevention tools. So maybe under normal circumstances, if there's no reason that anything is awry, I'm not going to block you from maybe moving this, maybe, you know, company data. It's not necessarily sensitive, but you're going to go put it in a third-party email program. Fine. I'm going to assume you mean well, you intend well, and there's nothing sensitive in here that shouldn't be, you know, taken elsewhere. That's fine. Maybe it's just tagged as general business data. But if you've been engaging in a bunch of risky behavior otherwise, I'm going to stop letting you do that. No, you can't even
exfiltrate.
Exfiltrate. Thank you. I'm not going to let you exfiltrate even this general business data now to your Gmail account, because you've basically proven yourself untrustworthy. That's really cool too. So this is great. And then starting to get into, we talked about those embedded experiences with Copilot for Security. This is the first of many, talking about that embedded experience in the Microsoft Purview portal, where you can say, hey, I've got this whole set of data loss prevention alerts. Can you summarize them? What do we have here? And it can say, hey, yeah, the majority of these are actually credit card numbers and they have a relatively low confidence level. What more do you want to know about it? But just being able to get a summary of like, oh, okay, so that's, we don't need to jump off a cliff here. These could just be false positives. Let's dig in a little deeper. Getting that first pass of information really quickly with natural language, super helpful. So these embedded experiences, I think this is going to be where the real innovation is over time, because instead of just having here's a blank screen and here's a prompt box and you can plug in prompts, being able to do them in line contextually with the other work you're doing, and it's adding context to what you're trying to do. To me, that is really, really incredible. When I was describing to a friend this embedded experience in Microsoft Intune, they run the device management team, and we'll get to it, but I was just explaining it and their eyes got as wide as saucers. They're like, I need that yesterday. My team needs that because, well, we'll get into it. But yeah, this is really cool.
Some announcements on Microsoft Entra. There was general availability of Entra skills within Copilot for Security. Couple of examples, user details, so you can quickly surface context for any user managed within Entra, given their you know, job title, contact information, authentication methods, the account creation date. Admins can prompt Copilot with phrases like, tell me more about this user, or list the active users created in the last 5 days, or what authentication methods does this user have? Is this user account enabled? So just pull up information really quickly. Group details. You can summarize details about any group managed within Entro. You can ask Copilots like, who is the owner of this group? Tell me about the group that starts with this, you know, XYZ. How many members are in this group? You know, so on and so forth. Sign-in logs. You can highlight information about any sign-in logs, conditional access policies that are applied within your tenant. You can ask Copilot something like, show me the recent sign-ins for this user. Show me the sign-ins from this IP address. Show me the failed sign-in user sign-ins from this user. I mean, that is super helpful just to be able to ask a tool to quickly look that stuff up without having to go to the logs yourself and having to pull it up. Audit logs as well from Entra are now integrated with Copilot for Security. You can help isolate anomalies, associate them with the audit logs. You can include changes to roles, access privileges. Admins can ask Copilot like, show me the audit logs for actions initiated by this user. Show me the audit logs for this kind of event. So super helpful and just extremely powerful to have identity skills integrated with your AI capabilities and just be able to ask natural language, which is what usually your directors and CISOs will be asking when something happens, like, okay, well, who was the user that did that? And, you know, this risky user, like, tell me about what they're doing. You know, you have this IP address. Okay, what other sign-ins happened from that IP address, right? Like, those are questions that you're naturally going to ask. And now you have a tool that can just pull it up for you.
Wonder how over time this empowers maybe people who previously did not go into the SIM or did not go into the XDR solution to now have the ability to run their own queries too, instead of going and having a fire drill for an analyst or a SOC lead or whomever, because now it's accessible to people like director level and above when they're just like, hey, I know enough to be dangerous. I just want to go ask this question. Yep. Interesting how that changes the game over time too.
And like, even for like a director level, right? Because I'm assuming, and I guess maybe you can clarify, but one of the things that we had touted about Copilot, like say M365 Copilot, is to be able to create a PowerPoint slide from data. So I'm assuming like if you want to go into like the Copilot standalone experience and summarize a specific incident, and then you can maybe copy and paste that, you know, I don't think they're going to talk back and forth because Copilot for Security is specifically the security API, but you can definitely copy the response, put it into, you know, Microsoft 365 Copilot and say, hey, create me a three slide presentation on this particular incident and then present that to your board, right?
Yeah, well, for sure. And this is where I'm not 100% on the incident summarization capabilities of Copilot for Security. I know you can have it create like reports and you can tell it what level of language to use for the reports. So Copilot for Security, you can directly tell, hey, okay, create an executive report summarizing this incident, make the technical level aimed at a person who is non-technical, and it will generate it. And I thought you could even generate PowerPoints with it, but maybe it's just like PDFs or Word docs. But to your point, then you could go into Copilot for Microsoft 365 and say, hey, take this Word doc and turn it into a PowerPoint. And there you go. Without really a lot of work, you've gone all the way from capturing all of the relevant details from a security incident, from things like a SIM and an XDR portal, and you've generated a plain language report. And now you could even simplify it and put it in slide format. And you've basically had to lift barely a finger.
Finally, let's talk about Copilot in Intune. Mm-hmm. And this was something that was announced at Secure. There's going to be a preview of Copilot in Intune. And this will allow admins to use Copilot within Intune to provide different things, like a summary of your policy settings and security impact for maybe overall devices or maybe a specific device, so on and so forth, right? Like a GPO or an Intune setting or something like that. It allows your administrators and analysts to quickly grasp the purpose and scope of any existing policy without the need to manually go through each setting and its assignments. It's really useful, and this one hit me, it's really useful for policies that are not often edited or reviewed, and when teams are collaborating on policy managements with other IT and security teams. Often at organizations, security and device management are two different teams.
Mm-hmm.
They sometimes don't even talk to each other, which I think is a tragedy. But now security analysts and Intune administrators can work together and be able to provide, you know, the context of the security of a device. You can also get AI guidance based on best practices. So Copilot can provide guidance to the administrator on what each setting does, how it works, and whether there are any recommended values for it based on Microsoft's best practices. Super helpful. I get that question all the time from customers on what's the recommended setting? You know, what does Microsoft recommend? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Now we have an AI that can guide you through that. There's going to be integration with Copilot for security, of course. You can, you know, Intune will provide device context, data sharing, all the different policies to Copilot for security so that you can quickly analyze any type of incidents that have any devices associated with it. And also some improvements in Intune Suite. So endpoint privilege management, I think, is one of those things that security defenders are really interested in. That's where you can provide privileged access for an application. And there's going to be added support for approved elevations from support. So if you want to empower a standard user and give them the opportunity to request elevated privileges for an app that's not already specifically specified by existing rules, they can request that, and then support can review it and, you know, approve it, so on and so forth. And then this one's huge. Remote help. Full Mac support on April 22nd this year. So it was previously just for Windows, and now we're going to have full remote help. That includes the ability to not only remote in, but also take control of a Mac device. So it's full control. So a lot of really good announcements here.
Yeah, last one first. We previously did have view-only support for the Mac. This now allows the take control function on the Mac. So that's exciting. Endpoint privilege management, we did a whole show on this, but one thing to know if you don't know, and this is where security professionals should be particularly interested, unlike a lot of the other solutions in this space, one of the things endpoint privilege management does differently is it elevates the app, not the user. So when you elevate an app, that app actually does not run in user context. It runs as essentially a virtual user that does not have any of the existing user context. This is way more secure because if I'm an attacker and I'm going to go run this line of business application, I know I get automatic elevation when I do. How much you want to bet that line of business application can be buffer overrun relatively easily, or any like really simple security exploit? Well, I can use all the context of that user, everything in user data, all that sort of thing to accomplish my exploit. Versus when an app is running without any of that user context, it's way more secure. So even if you're using other solutions, if you're listening to the show, you're probably a security practitioner. Just keep in mind, that's significant attack surface. It's better than being admin all the time, but it's still attractive administrative attack surface. And Intune endpoint privilege management doesn't have some of those same risks. So there's some cool things there. And I mentioned this just in the previous segment, Andy. I was verbally describing some of these features of Copilot for security in the embedded experience with Intune. And they were really excited about this because all of the things you talked about, being able to understand the existing policy that's in place, summarize it, being able to compare that against best practices and understand down to an individual setting level what it is, what it does, or ask, like, if I change this, what's the impact? That's incredible. Sometimes admins are making those changes in the dark, and that's when you get problems. And so this can really help to know ahead of time before you flip the wrong switch, what could potentially happen that would be not so great. So some really cool stuff across the board here. Just, it was a pretty pretty amazing show. A lot of cool stuff coming for, you know, folks like Andy and I who like to geek out on tools and technology and innovations, like some really interesting steps forward for security practitioners everywhere that will make lives easier and more efficient.
As part of it too, in the documentation, and we'll link it, of course, but there was an economic study for Copilot for Security. The numbers were security analysts, when they were using Copilot, they said that they were 22% faster at their given tasks. And they were also 7% more accurate when they're using Copilot. And most notably, 97% of the people who used it said they would use Copilot again the next time they try to do that same task. So I think when it comes to ROI and you do your own analysis for this, and obviously reach out to your Microsoft rep if you're interested, but if I was an analyst, this is a no-brainer for me, especially if you're a Microsoft customer and you're already using a lot of these tools. If you're not, you know, maybe you analyze it, but everyone I think is using Windows devices. A lot of them are using, at least on the back end, Entra for, you know, signing to at least Microsoft services. So you're going to get some value out of it regardless, even if you're using something else. But if you're a Microsoft customer and you're kind of all in already, this would be a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, really good point on that. And there is a more detailed economic study that your Microsoft folks can send you. So you can ask for it. They have it on one of our internal sites, but it's something that can be shared with customers. This was actually a really rigorous and statistically valid study in terms of, you know, you have a control group and the whole bit. And it talks about the methodology at length. And I thought the accuracy one was interesting because obviously a lot of the concern with AI systems, generative AI systems, especially kind of in the early days, was around things like, and I don't love the name, but what people call hallucination. And one of the things that we've really emphasized with this product is because it's grounded in a smaller set of data, able to really minimize that. And in fact, that's why you're seeing this push now to create like your own GPTs. Like it's a feature of the Microsoft Copilot consumer service, and ChatGPT Pro has this capability as well. Because when you create a more focused GPT on just a specific subject area, it tends to be much more accurate and much more focused. You get better results overall. And since this is only focused on the security domain, this is not going to, you know, quote Shakespeare or help you locate South Africa on a map. It's really focused at the task at hand. And as a result, it tends to be much more accurate. And so in this, again, statistically valid, like rigorous study, analysts were more accurate in their ability to, for example, summarize incidents and explain what had happened. Their summaries were more accurate when they used Copilot than without. So I think that helps smooth over some of the concerns that this is going to insert a bunch of spurious data in there that may not be real or existent. In fact, we're seeing the opposite, that this helps get to the facts more quickly and accurately.
And that's our show for this week. Hopefully you learned something. Take a look at our show notes because we're going to have a ton of links in there for all the blogs on the different announcements, as well as a link to the recorded session if you wanted to watch it. Our contact information will be in the show notes if you have any questions or topics you want us to talk about in the future. Thanks. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Blue Security Podcast. Please check out the show notes, catch up on episodes you may have missed, and subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Find Andy on Twitter @AJawZero and Adam @AJBrewer. See you at our next episode.